It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every game. Right now, brand new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks, and all on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. I don't know what you're waiting for. Go to FanDuel.com/Hardy. Make your first bet an automatic win with FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
B-Pod Studios.
It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every game. Right now, brand new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks, and all on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. I don't know what you're waiting for. Go to FanDuel.com/Hardy. Make your first bet an automatic win with FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code WBZMASS and receive up to $1,000 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions.
21 years of age or older to wager. Massachusetts only. New customer offer. All promotions are subject to qualification and eligibility requirements. Rewards issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets. Bonus bets expire 7 days from issuance. Play it smart from the start with GameSense. GameSenseMA.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-327-5050 or visit GamblingHelplineMA.org in partnership with MGM Springfield. Field.
This is not your conventional sports radio show.
It's become painfully clear.
Toucher and Rich, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Stand back!
I gotta beat this damn lot, it's only 10:50. They open doors at 11, but yo, I'm in a rush. I got the money to swing it, it's though I'm Ken Griffey. But so does this bum in front of me, smelling like a Lush. And there's a woman in front of him who forgot to brush. She's in pajama pants, sipping on an orange crush. The door's open, let's get it going, let's speed it up. They're looking up at the menu like they ain't seen it once. I'll have the carnitas and possibly the barbacoa. Actually, I'll have the chicken, sir, cause my heart is slower. Hopefully, I get the same every time. From the same kid every time. And he doesn't recognize me every time. So I gotta say it over.
I gotta ask Dan O'Brien this. Is the Griffey reference just for me? Is that what that was?
Yeah, he wrote the song just for you, John.
No, no, what I'm saying is, did you play this song because you knew?
Of course I did, yes.
The Griffey, right? And I think anyone.
It's all about you today.
Anyone who knows me would think this type of song, of course. When I think Wallach, I think rap music. That's what everyone says. Friday edition of the Toucher and Rich program. John Wallach, Joe Murray, Mike Lockhart here filling in until 10 a.m. here on 98.5 The Sports Hub. Bert Breer is the senior NFL reporter and lead content strategist for MMQB, and he joins us as he does every Friday morning on the Volkswagen Dealers Expert Hotline. Bert, good morning.
Good morning, Wallach. What's up?
Not much. I mean, lots going on with the National Football League. It's kind of like people studying for a final. Well, this is something you're familiar with in your college career, waiting until the very last second to study for a midterm or a final. And here we are. We're on the doorstep of training camp, and at the very last minute, the NFL and the Players Association decided to make a deal, and all looks well.
Yeah, I mean, it looks like we're going to have. It looks like we're going to get off the sort of start that they envisioned when they started negotiating at the beginning of July. Some of the financial stuff still needs to be worked out, but my anticipation is that, you know, they're going to be able to find a way to get this done, because over the last month and a half, they've really all had the same goal, and that goal has been to find a way to play games in the fall. And that makes this materially different than the collective bargaining negotiations, both in 2020 and 2011. So, yeah, it's going to be interesting because football's going to have a very, very different look over the next month and a half. And whatever you thought, whatever your memories of training camp are, it's going to look a whole lot different what we're going to get over the next 6 weeks.
I want to get to that in a minute, but I wanted to first ask you, are you surprised at the way the National Football League came across so quick? I mean, we had that social media blitz by a lot of top name players, and I sat there and thought, well, what if the NFL decides, you know, I don't care what you guys think. You guys have to show up. I think, you know, the players, with all their bitching and moaning, still would have shown up and still gone through training camp while working this kind of stuff out. But the NFL came across and really did the players a solid here. I was kind of surprised at the way it all came down.
Right. Well, I mean, it's not done yet. And so I think the important thing, though, you know, again, is that I think that it was in everybody's best interest to have the strongest possible health and safety measures that they could. Look, having an outbreak in the league, having an outbreak in an individual team, that doesn't help anybody, you know, because, again, they all have the same goal. And this, for once, was a situation where the players actually had real leverage. And I think we discussed this last week, Wallach, where, you know, those guys' salaries lock in week one. And that created a sort of doomsday scenario for the owners where they were going to be on the hook to pay a lot of guys full salaries for an entire year that they weren't sure they were going to be able to finish. And so, you know, that gave the players a chance to kind of paint everything else the way that they wanted to paint it. And a huge part of that is because the one area where the NFL has less leverage over its players than the other sports do, they don't have a force majeure clause in the CBA. And so, you know, again, these players, if they got to week one and they were on the roster, the vested veterans were going to have their numbers locked in. And that was going to create a great deal of liability for the owners. And so, you know, that allowed the players to get the sort of form for training camp that they want and negotiate something that's fair financially.
Hey, Bert, I heard your brief appearance this week on Felger and Maz, and just kind of wanted to bring up some of the questions they asked. But one of them, one thing that you mentioned was the start of the season could become political this year, meaning on time. Can you explain that a little bit? And, you know, do they really want to get this thing off track, or could they push it back maybe a couple of weeks?
You know, Joe, and I'm glad you didn't ask me about my phone, because I thought that might be where it's going.
Excellent phone today.
Excellent phone today, yeah. Parse.
Yeah. Well, maybe I'm Joe Felger and Maz on purpose. How about that?
That's true.
Joe, there are a lot of teams, and I'm talking about like a good amount of good, well-run teams, at least a half dozen of them, that were for pushing the start of the season back. And, you know, part of it was like accommodating an acclimation period, but a bigger part of it was getting to study the other sports, you know, and getting to look at what happens in baseball, what happens in hockey, what happens in basketball. And, you know, it was almost strange for some of those teams to see how much the league office pushed back and how much of a non-starter it was for the league office. And, you know, because each of the sports leagues have been in contact with the White House, there are some teams that felt like the league was getting pressure from the White House to start the season on time. Now, you'd ask, why would the White House want that? Well, we're in an election year, and the White House needs to have the country look like it's like everything. Everybody's getting back on their feet, and what better way to show the country's getting back on its feet than to have a football season start on time? And so, if my understanding was, you know, like that, the White House really was pushing, and we know this, that they were working with all the leagues trying to get seasons played as possible. But one thing that I'd heard was that the White House really saw the NFL is a bellwether, and whether it's strongly encouraging them, pressuring them, whatever you want to call it, really was interested in the NFL starting a season on time, which, you know, led the league office to really kind of, you know, plant its foot in the ground with some of these teams and say, no, we really want to start on September 13th.
All right, so you brought the run-up to September 13th, as you just said, is going to be different than anything we've seen before. No exhibition games.
a lot of protocol, a lot of steps that the players have to go through just to get on the field. Why don't we detail some of this here?
Sure. So, like, the veteran report date is the big one, and that for the Texans and the Chiefs is tomorrow, and then for the other 30 teams, it's going to be on Tuesday. I'll take you guys really quickly through how this is going to work. July 28th, players take a test. They have virtual meetings. The 28th and 29th, they have virtual meetings. The 30th, the 29th and 30th, they have the virtual meetings. The 31st, they take a second test and have virtual meetings. Then they're cleared to go in the building. Then August 1st and 2nd, they take physicals with this twist. No more than 15 players allowed in the building at one time. So that two-day process completes. August 3rd to the 14th is only strength and conditioning, no helmets. Then August 15th, practice starts. It's going to be about 10 days of non-contact practice. First helmets, then uppers. Then they're going to be able to go full pads at the end of August. So if you think about that, guys, how different that is. What we've had in the past, teams would start practice like late July. The pads would go on August 1st or so. Under this plan, the pads aren't going to go on till the end of August with the season starting on time. And as it's drawn up right now, they're not going to be able to fit in any more than maybe 8 to 12 padded practices before the start of the season.
Tell me about the injury risk to the players. I mean, part of training camp is getting used to the physicality and getting used to getting banged up. I mean, the players aren't going to have that opportunity this time. Do you think that injuries will spike early in the season?
Well, what's interesting, Wallach, is that this was done to prevent injuries because if, you know, and a lot of their, you know, their data is based on 2011. And if you remember in 2011 coming out of the lockout, they had no spring and they sort of rushed back into football, right? And it was a sprint. And what they saw was a spike in Achilles injuries and a spike in hamstring injuries. And that's why the Joint Committee for Health and Safety recommended to the league and union, we want you to slowly ramp everybody up and we want everybody to take their time coming back. And so that's sort of what they're doing. Now, does that create another problem because you're not getting as many padded practices? We'll see. I think a lot of NFL coaches have done more research into this than you might expect. And I'll have something interesting in my column on Monday. I talked to the coach up at Dartmouth, Buddy Tevens. Mm-hmm. They haven't hit in practice in almost 10 years.
Okay.
And he sort of explained how, and they, I mean, like, they've been really, really good within the Ivy League. And he sort of explained how this really, you don't really need to hit in practice if you know what you're doing, if you're teaching technique correctly. I mean, like, look, like, Joe, you're my age. You played high school football. Like, I remember what it was like. We knocked the crap out of each other for a couple of weeks before the season started.
Why don't you ask me that question? How come you didn't ask me that question, Bert? I might have played high school football.
Huh? Did you?
No.
Oh, okay. But no, guys, I mean, like, that's the thing is, like, I think that, like, you know, a lot of us who have these memories, we think of it like, how are you going to get ready to hit?
Yeah, double sessions.
There are a lot of people. Yeah. There are a lot of people in the sport who've done a lot of research into this. And so, I mean, maybe there will be injuries, but I think the sport is a lot farther along when it comes to just managing these sorts of things than you might expect.
Bert, how do you think all this is going to affect Cam Newton's rhythm with the receivers? I mean, he's not going to be able to practice with them quite as much or get into games, but he has been throwing with Edelman and Mohamed Sanu and N'Keal Harry, and I don't think Brady threw with Harry much at all last year before the season started. So do you think that Cam Newton actually will be okay this year?
All right, so here's an interesting piece of this. What year did Cam Newton come into the league?
Was it 2011?
Right, and what under what circumstance did he come into the league?
The worst team in the league.
The lockout.
Oh,
right?
Really? Oh, okay. Yeah, that's right. Yep.
I mean, it's sort of interesting, right? Like, he came into the league in a lockout. He had no spring. In fact, he couldn't even talk to his coaches in May and June and July of his rookie year. And as a quarterback, he won Offensive Rookie of the Year. And I think there's a reason for that. He allows you to be simple on offense. He allows you not to have to be overly complex. And it sort of like got me wondering a little bit when they signed him, if that's sort of part of the idea here, that you're not going to be able to run as complicated an offense. I mean, they're certainly not going to be what they've been under Tom Brady the last few years. And so the idea may be we're going to be a power running team that's going to complement a really good defense. We don't need to be complicated. We want to be simpler. And Cam Newton is somebody, because of his athletic ability, that can facilitate us becoming simpler than we have been in the past, which makes things easier on everybody else and could actually help you develop some of your younger players like N'Keal Harry.
All right, an excellent point. My question to you, Bert, keeping that in mind, is who's doing more adapting? Are the Patriots adapting more to Newton, or is Newton going to adapt more to the Patriots if they simplify things?
There's going to be a little bit of both, but, I mean, you guys remember, like, when Brady was suspended in 2016, they flipped the offense upside down on, what, like 3 days' notice for Jacoby Brissett?
Yep.
Like, wasn't that Jimmy got hurt on a Sunday? They played that Thursday against the Texans, and they were able to basically put in, I mean, like, what looked like a high school offense on the fly without much notice, right? So they were able to do that in 3 days. You know, I think Josh McDaniels has more in his bag when it comes to these sorts of things. Like, when it comes to that sort of offense, then people realize that's where the game's been going for a while. We haven't seen it from the Patriots because they've had Tom Brady at quarterback. But I certainly think that the Patriots, and this is what the Patriots have always done, I think the Patriots are going to do what they need to do to highlight what Cam Newton is as a quarterback. We've seen them do it at so many other positions. We've seen them accommodate corners. We've seen them accommodate offensive linemen. We've seen them accommodate linebackers. We've seen them accommodate pass rushers. We should never have had to see them accommodate a quarterback on this scale. We've seen it in bits, of course, with Castle and with Brissett and with Garoppolo. Now we get to see what that looks like when they've got to adjust full on to a new quarterback.
All right, Bert, thank you very much. What is your next month going to look like?
I wish I could tell you. Normally, I would have my entire plan and everything else. I mean, I told you guys that whole thing about entering facilities, right, where you've got to take the two tests.
Yeah.
So we're all subject to that, too.
Okay.
And that's going to make doing a training camp trip almost impossible, because you'd have to take a test on day one, a test on day four, and then you'd be cleared to enter the facility on day five. Now, we can still travel around and go to the practices, but we can't be in front of any of these people unless we're actually tested that way. And if you think about it, that means, like, if I was going to go down to Tampa and I wanted to sit down with Bruce Arians, that means I would have to spend 5 days there before I could sit down with him. So
perfect. You can still write and you don't have to go anywhere. I think this would be perfect for you.
And Tampa's beautiful this time of year, too.
No,
right?
No kidding. So, Bert, thank
nothing,
you
very much. Nothing bad's happening there right now.
No kidding. Bert, stay safe. You and your family, please stay safe, and thanks a lot.
Awesome. Thanks, guys. Hey, and by the way, all the best to Fred and his family.
Yes,
thanks, we agree. All right, thanks a lot, Bert. That's Bert Breer. That's Bert Breer from MMQB. We'll keep the football discussion moving along here when we come back. I want to talk a little bit, Joe, with you about Tom Brady, who is doing some real strange things nowadays. All of that coming up after this. Toucher and Rich program, John Wallach and Joe Murray sitting in 98.5 The Sports.
It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every game. Right now, brand new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks, and all on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. I don't know what you're waiting for. Go to FanDuel.com/Hardy. Make your first bet an automatic win with FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
It's Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code WBZMASS and receive up to $1,000 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions.
21 years of age or older to wager. Massachusetts only. New customer offer. All promotions are subject to qualification and eligibility requirements. Rewards issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets. Bonus bets expire 7 days from issuance. Play it smart from the start with GameSense. GameSenseMA.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-327-5050 or visit GamblingHelplineMA.org in partnership with MGM Springfield.
This is not your conventional sports radio show.
It's a lot of fun, right? You're having fun.
Dutcher and Rich, 98.5 The Sports Hub.
All right, so here's a little inside work of the program. When it's Funk Friday, this song comes up every once in a while. There are songs, break down the wall here, there are songs that are played on a loop. They're all part of the same thing, and these songs rotate. And every once in a while, this song will pop up. And I like this song a lot. This is Prince. The name of the song is called 17 Days. It's the B-side of When Doves Cry. And, you know, Prince fans like myself, I like this song a lot. Every time it's played, I'm happy to hear it. I look over at Dan. Is it? Give him a little nod. Thank you for playing this. And Dan, being Dan, says, will you stop friggin' looking at me every single time
Dan
I play this
Dan,
song?
Dan, I like that. Yeah.
And Dan...
Which just means I'm a gigantic prick, right?
Am I wrong?
No, I'm just...
All right, just so we're all on the same page.
I like to see you smile, John. I'm here for you. That's what I said to you back in your headphones.
That's exactly what you said in my headphones. To say, hey, a-hole, I'm here stop looking at me whenever I play this song. Songs make you happy, Joe. They're supposed to make you happy, and then Dan being Dan pees all over
it. Yeah, then there's songs that make you sad.
Yes. I don't know where we're going with that.
Well, I know we're going to talk football here in a minute, but, I mean, we might get to take me out to the ball game later. Will that make anyone happy or sad?
That's true. Dan Roach is going to join us in about an hour. It is opening day for Major League Baseball, but I want to continue the football discussion because we just had Bert Breer on. The one thing we did not touch on was Tom Brady, who arrived at Tampa Bay Buccaneer headquarters yesterday not wearing a mask. Now, ordinarily, this wouldn't be a problem.
Well, he put on a mask.
Well, he kind of, when he walked in the facility, you saw him, you know, quickly reach into his bag and put it up to his face. But, you know, one would think he would have it on as he entered the facility and started interacting with people. And I find it interesting seeing that coupled with Brady's blatant defiance of NFL rules and holding practices with some of his Tampa Bay teammates when the NFL was in full don't go near anyone mode. And then his overwhelming silence last weekend when players like J.J. Watt, Russell Wilson were tweeting the NFL saying, we want to play, but you got to get this testing thing taken care of. Brady, kind of as an afterthought, tweeted about that 36 hours ago. It's interesting to see this because when Brady was here, hidden behind the big Patriots blue wall, and whenever you saw him, it was kind of a carefully crafted public persona where he always said the right thing with a smile. And now he's out from behind that. I mean, there are a lot of options you can think about. One is this is what he is. He really doesn't care what people think about him and is just going and doing his own thing. Or is it, okay, I have 2 years left. I have to be as prepared as possible. You know, this COVID thing and, you know, it's an afterthought. Or the third thing, and this is the most frightening thing of all, would be, well, these products, these TB12 products I'm using, that's what's going to save me. And if you use my products, you can be like me, not have to wear a mask and be impervious to this.
That's exactly
Tom.
Yeah,
that's exactly what it is. So I actually just watched the video again. You'll see him show up in his black pickup truck. He waves and there's like a security guy being like, hey, do you have your badge? You got to put a mask on there. And he's like, what? He just kind of like looks around like I'm Tom Brady, dude. And he gets out and he's talking to somebody. And then the doctor opens the door. And yeah, he almost put the mask on, but he might have put it on. And he comes out, and he's got a little Band-Aid on his arm.
Tom. So,
yeah. Yes, that'll solve everything.
And then,
Band-Aid.
Walking back to the car, no mask whatsoever. Again, I'm not, whatever.
The last week has been really weird for him.
For him?
Well, I mean.
The offseason, too.
But I mean, specifically the last week when all the players are banding together for a common cause, and there's the most visible and the most famous NFL player not joining in. I mean, are you a leader of the NFL or are you not? Are you supposed to be one of the more visible players in the National Football League or are you not? Or have you just given all that up and said, much like with your salary, it's time for me to get mine? He's now chosen, and Mike Lockhart, I don't know how you feel about this. It just seems that now in the last 6 months, he's chosen to be selfish.
Yeah, he doesn't care anymore. He just wants to do what he wants to do. And I don't think it's the last 6 months. I mean, look, the last couple of years, he hasn't been showing up for OTAs. Mm-hmm. You know, he wants more family time. He doesn't care, dude. He's just trying to get a couple more rings and then ride off into the sunset.
Is it rings or years? Because I think they'll be successful because they're a good team, I think. But I think he's just trying to, hey, this TB12 brand, let me continue to build this. I want to play until I'm 45. Maybe we can be better than what Bill Belichick and the Patriots are.
Does he really think that his TB12 nonsense is going to save him from COVID?
I don't know, but probably, right?
well, what looks better for the brand than winning a Super Bowl? I mean, you leave the Patriots, yeah. You go win a Super Bowl.
In a pandemic.
His brand goes through the roof.
TB12 in a pandemic.
I mean, think about how many morons in Florida will jump on the TB12 train if he ends up winning a Super Bowl. I mean, that's it.
But it's just his actions in the face of all of this. I mean, in the middle of the first COVID outbreak in Florida, he's out practicing in a closed park alone. I mean, he's out working out alone and had to be thrown out of there when he knew as well as everybody else, you're not supposed to be outside. Yeah. You're not supposed to be near anybody.
If I could just say this, I think it's okay for Tom Brady to be selfish, right?
Sure.
For years, he was sacrificing for, you know, lower salary cap, getting players in. Last year, he might have been a little selfish. Antonio Brown, you know, I think he even knew during the season, well, he said that in one of the documentaries, the millions that he does, that, you know, people knew this was going to be his last year. I think it's okay if Tom Brady wants to be selfish at the same time. Is it careless? Yeah, but it's his brand. It's worked to this point.
It's jarring to me.
But
after watching him the last 20 years, seeing his behavior over the last year, and Mike, you're right. Over the last year, he's kind of been selfish. He knew it was his last year with the Patriots, but to see what he's doing now and not see him, quote unquote, with the program, it's just really strange to me. I mean, this is not our Tom Brady. This is not the Tom Brady that Patriots fans grew up watching. It's a cold, different Tom Brady. It's weird.
Can I just bring up one thing? Have you ever, like, looked at Brady to be a league leader? Like, no. LeBron James, do you look at him as a league?
Yes, I do. Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. Yes.
But Brady was never that guy.
No, nobody ever looked up to him. Everybody in the NBA looks up to LeBron, and they're always talking about LeBron. And everybody talks about Tom Brady as a great football player, but never as, like, a league leader.
But if there was a time for that to happen, wouldn't it be now?
I think it's for other guys now.
Yeah, and he's over all that. He doesn't care.
I mean, Breeze tried and then backfired really bad. really bad.
Well, Breeze's heart was in the right place, but his information was completely wrong. I mean, I understand where
Rogers,
where Breeze was coming from, but he got it all completely wrong. But to give him credit, he immediately backtracked the next day and decided to learn some things. But yeah, at least Breeze tried, you know. But Brady has never tried. You're right, but it just, I'm not used to this. It's going to take some getting used to. It's kind of like moving, like Brady, it's kind of like moving to a new place. You don't know anything that's around you. The reality is different surrounding this player, a player that we none of us really know, but we've come to know of in the last 20 years. It's just to see a guy one way for so long and then be slapped in the face with this new reality of, you know, it's time for me to get mine. We're all done. It's kind of weird. It's very weird. It's kind of like, I'll give you an example. My grandfather, when he was, you know, 60, 65, you know, he was caring, he was loving. And then when you get by a certain year, I guess, and you earn this because you get to a certain age, you just don't care. Yeah. You know, just like I want everyone at the house. Well, Grandpa, it's a 5-hour drive. I don't care. Everyone come to my house. I'm not going anywhere. That's kind of like what this is. You know, it's a new reality. Grandpa, what are you doing? Or maybe this just speaks to my home life.
So he's Grandpa Tom Brady now.
Well, in football terms, it is. Yeah. Is it not? I know. 617-779-0985. My specialty is next. I know everyone in the entire room and everyone across this great nation cannot wait. It's a 902-0 recap. I know you guys can't wait for this. We're heading to season five. I know. Yeah, everyone, get your notepads out. That's coming up after this. Mike Lockhart's next. 98.5 The Sports Hub.
It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every single game. Right now, new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. Guaranteed. That's $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks, all on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. What are you waiting for? Visit FanDuel.com/Stewart and make your first bet an automatic win. FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code WBZMASS and receive up to $1,000 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions.
21 years of age or older to wager. Massachusetts only. New customer offer. All promotions are subject to qualification and eligibility requirements. Rewards issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets. Bonus bets expire 7 days from issuance. Play it smart from the start with GameSense. GameSenseMA.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-327-5050 or visit GamblingHelplineMA.org in partnership with MGM Springfield.
Boston sports fans start their day with Toucher and Rich.
Good morning, gentlemen. How are we doing?
I am rather confused. Toucher and Rich. What the hell is going on?
98.5, The Sports Hub.
The Sports Hub, Friday edition of the Toucher and Rich program. Fred and Rich both off today, so my name's John Wallach. Joe Murray is here. Mike Lockhart doing headlines today as we take you up to 10 o'clock in whatever version of the Zolak and Bertrand program. Zo's off all week, right? So it's been Bertrand and Hardy with Update Man. It's been a revolving door. You've done that show, right, this week?
Yeah.
You've done that show this week, so that's coming up at 10 o'clock. Still to come at 8:20, Dan Roach today, opening day for Major League Baseball. We will get into the baseball discussion and the expanded playoffs and what the games looked like last night and what Sam Kennedy said from the Red Sox. All of that coming up at 8 o'clock. But before that, we have of course we do. I mean, I'm hosting the show. Did you really think you were going to get away with not getting a Beverly Hills 90210 recap?
Now, Joe, did you watch the show? You're my age.
I watched the show.
I would watch it randomly, but I never was
a Jenny Garth photo in my locker.
Oh, no, she was my girl, Jenny Garth.
But you mentioned season five. Now, just
season five.
Me, is this when Brenda goes to London?
When Brenda left for London. In? Brenda left for London at the end of season four. So we're at season five, episode three.
Ooh.
A clean slate, it's called. Valerie has arrived from Buffalo, and she is now living in Brenda's bedroom in the Walsh house. So because we are in season five, all the kids are now sophomores in college. And Brandon Walsh is, of course, the superstar of the group. Yes.
Is this like the election one?
Yeah, we're right in there. We're right in there. So Brandon Walsh, who was, you know, a member of the task force his freshman year, he went to Washington, suddenly comes under scrutiny by Josh Richland, who is the editor of the school newspaper. Josh Richland is sniffing around Brandon. He thinks there's some foul play involved. He thinks Brandon, who was tutoring a basketball player by the name of Deshaun Hardell, had taken some courses for him, taken some finals for him. And he was kind of sniffing around Brandon because he thought, correctly so, even though he never found this out, that he was sleeping with Lucinda Nicholson, who was the wife of Deshaun Hardell's teacher. So all of this is going on, and Brandon and Josh really butt heads when they meet at the beginning of season five. Brandon doesn't like him at all. Brandon's not a big fan. And there's a memorable scene where Brandon goes on this retreat, this school retreat, and he needs Kelly Taylor to go with him as his fake girlfriend. And Josh Richland is there, and Josh and Brandon keep butting heads, and Kelly does her best to throw herself on the grenade and keep the two of them at arm's length. But in the end, wouldn't you know it, those two kids grow to like each other. And Brandon has decided, you know, Josh approaches Brandon and says, you know what, kid, you've got some spunk. I want you to run on my ticket. I'm going to run for class president or school president, student body president. I'm a senior. I want you to run with me as vice president on my ticket. And it seems like the two of them are really gaining some serious momentum. But then, as always happens in this show, there's a problem, Joe. You know what that problem is?
A woman?
Nope. It turns out that Josh Richland, who had written this long article for the newspaper about Brandon and all of his wrongdoings, never published the story, never published it at all, left it on his computer and decided not to publish it because he thought Brandon would be a good running mate for him.
Yeah.
And in the middle of the election, 2 weeks before the election, Alex Diaz, the campaign manager for the prime opponent for the Richland Walsh ticket, stumbles across this article.
Oh, yeah.
And says, you know what, guys? Back out of the election now, or I'm going to show this story to everybody.
Mm-hmm. Which would point Brandon.
Which would point Brandon Walsh in the wrong direction. Yeah. It wouldn't look good for the Walsh-Richland ticket.
Right.
And so there's a memorable scene in the school cafeteria. Believe it or not, I don't know how California University had a school cafeteria. Most colleges don't, but this one did. And for some reason, they're hanging out in a student union, which, by the way, none of us who went to college did. But, you know, that's neither here nor there. There's a memorable story where Andrea Zuckerman, who is now the mother of a young daughter and married, where about 18 months beforehand, she was a virgin, hadn't slept with anyone. She shows up at college, sleeps with an RA, decides the RA isn't good enough for her, runs into a bartender at Brandon's mother and father's anniversary party, Jesse Vasquez, and decides, no, I'm going to dump the guy I just slept with. Yep. I'm going to sleep with this guy, and he gets her pregnant. And all of a sudden, she's a mom and a wife 18 months removed from being a virgin.
Is this,
how's that for a turnaround?
That's crazy. Is this when Dylan was hanging out at the pool hall?
Yes.
And Valerie was like, oh,
you know what?
Man.
You keep getting ahead of me.
I'm sorry.
You keep getting ahead of me.
I can remember the episode
now. I understand that these things kind of get away from you sometimes, but you keep getting ahead of me. It's called a slow build.
All right, build it up.
I'm not the expert on this, but I know where I'm heading in the story. So anyway, the campaign is threatened. Alex Diaz threatens them, and things look bad. Things look really, really bad. But in the end, things work out because Brandon and Josh are supposed to hold this. Josh is supposed to hold this big speech at the campus auditorium with a bunch of people. He's going to talk to the school about what the Richland Walsh ticket is all about. And wouldn't you know it, Josh Richland's car breaks down on the way to the big speech. So Brandon, at the last minute, has to get up on stage and hold a speech in front of everybody. And you know what? That plucky can-do kid knocks it out of the park and immediately becomes the front runner.
That's right.
And Richland shows up at the end, and there's a scene where Josh Richland sees Brandon Walsh finish off his speech, and they show a picture of Josh going, that's right, nods his head in approval. And all of a sudden, after the speech is over, Brandon and Josh are the front runners. Now, Let's go to the beach apartment, where Donna and Kelly are looking for another roommate. They have a space.
Mm-hmm.
They have a space for a roommate.
Yeah,
up steps Claire Arnold,
right?
Who, if you listened to my last 90210 update, had the hots for Brandon. Brandon turned her down in the end. But she's decided now that she's a sophomore in college. She's so smart, Joe, that she skipped freshman year.
Yeah.
She took advanced AP classes and is now a sophomore in college. She goes to the beach apartment and says, hey, my dad's got money. He's the chancellor of the school. Can I move in with you guys? Mm. And Donna and Kelly, like, you know, hey, we need the money.
Yeah.
You look like a nice enough woman. Come on in. Now, that seems to be a good idea for a while until they find out that Claire has a problem.
She's got a...
Claire really has a problem. She snores.
Snores.
She snores a lot. And she keeps them up nights.
Yep.
And this is a big problem now. What are those girls going to do? They have a new roommate. They don't want to upset her because her father's the chancellor of the school that they go to. They can't piss her off. Her checks are good. They have to figure out a way to figure this out. What do they do? Do you remember?
I don't.
You don't remember? No. Claire walks out and says, you know what? Here's the thing. There's only one way that I don't snore when I go to bed. Other people have told me that I snore. But there's only one way I don't snore, and that's when I have a guy in bed with me.
Oh.
You know? If I have a guy in bed with me, I never snore. You know? And, hey, I like Brandon. You know, Kelly, if you wouldn't mind loaning me your boyfriend, I'm all for it. And Kelly, you know, I'm not into that kind of stuff. You know, she's a good girl. She's not into that kind of all stuff. Right. So what do? They find a blow-up doll for her to sleep with. You know? And it's not one of those anatomically correct ones. Which would have been a heck of a story, a plot twist. But they give her a blow-up male doll to sleep with. And wouldn't you know it, magically, the snoring goes away. And it's all is well. All is well. Now, you brought up Valerie Malone. Valerie Malone, when she showed up at the Walsh house to live in Brenda's bedroom, she looked like, you know, she was wearing the tree-torn shoes. She was wearing the nice, you know, jean miniskirt. She looked like a kid who would fit right in. With the, you know, upper class kids of Beverly Hills 90210. But at the end of her first episode, which is episode 1 of season 5, you see her, you know, smoking marijuana in a room and talking with her friend Ginger and say, you know what? I'll just do the dance. I'm not like these people. And slowly but surely, although Kelly Taylor seems to be on to her, she starts revealing more and more that this is what she's about.
She's a bad girl.
She's a bad girl. And she runs into Dylan one day. And Dylan is in a bad way, Joe. He's in a bad way. All of his money is gone. You know, Kevin has stolen all of his money and disappeared to Brazil with it. He's got no money, although no one else in the group knows this. To them, you know, Dylan is just on a drinking binge, but they don't know all the money's gone. Yeah. They just think he's a fall-down drunk. They don't know why he's a fall-down drunk. So Dylan is spending a lot of time in pool halls, like you said. And he's shooting pool one day, he's shooting stick. I've lost my train of thought. Who's Tiffany Amber Thiessen's character?
Yeah, Valerie.
Valerie shows up. Thank you. Save me there. I had a senior moment there for a second. Valerie shows up and starts shooting pool with him and just obliterates him in pool.
Yeah,
and Dylan's like, who's this girl? This is my dream girl, a woman who can shoot pool in this pool hall.
They look good together.
And, oh, my God, he's drinking beer. He's like, you know, do you want to play for money? And she's like, I don't know. Okay. And she takes all his money. And he's like, who is this angel that has been placed in my life? And wouldn't you know it, Valerie, there's a scene where Valerie is teasing Dylan, and Dylan's like, I'm aching for you. And Valerie says, nope, not yet, and walks away from him. Just that, you know, it's the classic tease. But Dylan ultimately comes around, and Valerie steps up and sleeps with Dylan, unbeknownst to the Walshes, unbeknownst to everybody else.
Mm.
And only after she sleeps with him does she tell him where it is that she's living. And Dylan, of course, is freaked out by all of this. I mean, it's not as if his life isn't bad enough. You know, Brenda's gone. She's in London. He's lost all. His father was blown to smithereens. Yep. A car bomb.
The Walsh father.
Father is disowned him. He's out. Yeah. Out on Dylan McKay.
Brandon's his friend.
You know, everyone seems to have given up on him. And wouldn't you know it, the one woman he feels that he can connect with is living in the Walsh household. But Dylan being Dylan, he decides to sleep with her anyway. And that, ladies and gentlemen, is where we leave off at the end of episode 3 of season 5. I think I speak for everyone in the room by saying that was an e-ticket at Disney World. That was a roller coaster ride. That was Space Mountain. Thank you all for going on that journey with me.
Anytime we can talk about Valerie, I'm in.
It wasn't Valerie Malone although Tiffany Amber Thiessen, and this is right after she left, you know, Saved by the Bell and Saved by the Bell the college years. She was such the good girl, you know. This is a chance to, like, stretch her acting chops. You know what I'm saying?
Well, who else was a bad girl in 90210?
There weren't many.
Claire,
not really. Although, as I mentioned the last time
we did it,
Claire was the girl who showed up at Brandon's house and chained herself to Brandon's bed in a piece of lingerie. I said, you know what? The key to these handcuffs is on my body somewhere.
Yeah.
And Brandon, being Brandon, said, nope, I don't want the free sex.
I'm a good guy.
I'm closing the door and walking away from that in one of the dumbass moves of all time. But no, you're right. The Beverly Hills 90210 needed a bad girl. And Valerie, as time went on, fell in love with Brandon but couldn't get it because she kept getting blocked by Kelly Taylor. And even after Kelly left Brandon, you know, Valerie tried and Brandon wouldn't come across. You know, very frustrating for Valerie, who had dad issues. But that's, you know, that's for a recap of a different time. But Joe, you were somewhat of a help there.
I just remember the episode.
Yeah.
I remember Dylan being down, and I remember her, Claire, snoring.
Yes.
And I don't remember, though, giving her a blow-up doll.
Yes, that's what cured the
snoring.
And
I do remember them asking about Brandon.
Yes.
And Jenny was like, no.
No, I'm not into threesomes. You're going to have to skate your own lane. Yeah. You know, find a guy of your own.
And, I mean, Steve was the real badass, right?
Well, I mean, let's define badass.
He rode a motorcycle.
Right? Did he?
I mean, he was on like the ninjas all the time.
Oh, no, that was
he Steve. Cheated in school.
No, I don't think that's true. I think Steve got a motorcycle later on, like season 8 or 9, and his girlfriend at the time, it might have actually been. No, I don't know who. It might have been Janet said, forget it. There's no way in hell you're riding this motorcycle.
He might have done steroids. I'm not really sure.
Yes, that was in season 1 where he joined the track team and did steroids. And Brandon's like, do you understand the health risks, man? Yeah. He said, yeah, but I'm doing really well. I can run faster than I've ever run before. And Brandon's like, no, dude, you have to get off this. And that was the teachable moment at the end of, you know, he like gives the steroids to Brandon. He flushes him down the toilet or whatever he does.
And Steve could pay off anybody. Steve, you need to get out of something. Steve Sanders, baby, he'll help you.
Well, Steve actually tried to earn a job. I said, is that all you make here at the Peach Pit? And Brandon's like, I don't think you would last a week. I'll bet you my full paycheck that you don't last a week at the Peach Pit. And you know what? Steve lasted 4 days. And like, I give up. Fine, here's the money. And he like pulled $200 out of his pocket and gave it to Brandon. That's true. Steve was able to pretty much get himself out of everything. Well, I think the palate's been cleansed. I think everyone's very happy.
Sorry, I couldn't help anymore.
That's all right. That's all right. It actually makes you a better person than you think. 2 hours down, 2 hours to go. We will turn our discussion to baseball at 8 o'clock. And then coming up at 8:20, the happiest man in the world, Dan Roach, will join us and discuss opening day at Fenway Park. Headlines are around the corner. It's Wallach. It's Murray here on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every game. Right now, new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. That's $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. What are you waiting for? Visit FanDuel.com/Fred and make your first bet an automatic win. FanDuel, America's number one sports book.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code WBZMASS and receive up to $1,000 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions.
21 years of age or older to wager. Massachusetts only. New customer offer. All promotions are subject to qualification and eligibility requirements. Rewards issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets. Bonus bets expire 7 days from issuance. Play it smart from the start with GameSense. GameSenseMA.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-327-5050 or visit GamblingHelplineMA.org in partnership with MGM Springfield.
Visit Plain Ridge Park Casino this spring for all the playoff hoops and hockey action and the return of baseball. They've got the biggest screens, the best food and drink, plus they're giving away Penn Cash bonuses and prizes to Penn Play Rewards members. Not a member? Join today by downloading and registering for the Penn Play app from the App Store. Unlock all the fun, including a chance to win up to $2,000 in Penn Cash. All this and more. Make Plain Ridge Park Casino your spring sports viewing headquarters. Must be 21 plus. Play it smart from the start. Live chat at GameSenseMA.com. Hope is here. 800-327-5050 or gambling help. Line ma.org.